Going to start in 2 Timothy again, and we're going to read verse 9, but our study tonight is starting with verse 10. But since it's been a while, I wanted to go back and read verse 9 again before we got involved. And this is going to do it the way we've been doing it for 3 or 4 years and doing it with Jack Eberly's Workman's Interlinear. But I've got my notes here, and I'm not going to do the notes on 9 again because we've already done that and went through the things there. But I wanted to read the verse of Scripture anyway in the King James Version. And this is 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 9, and then we're going to read from then on, we'll read and go over it the way we've been doing it. Talking about, well, I'll just go back to verse 8 because that's where we need to be reminded of how all this is coming about. And Paul says to him, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." So all this is coming from our Lord, who gave his life and his blood and breath for us that we might have a different kind of association with God that other men didn't have so much. Because now the Holy Spirit can live within man at this point in time, and could have ever since Christ, before Christ went back into heaven, he said, "Remain here in Jerusalem and I will send the Comforter." And so that's who we're talking about. We're talking about the Holy Spirit being sent by Christ himself, because he is at the right hand of the Father, seated there as head without the body. And the body now, as we know it and as we understand it, is being formed and completed to where when Christ appears, he will show up in his fullness with his body. Whatever that situation may be, whatever it is you want, however you want to look at it. And verse 9 says, "Who hath saved us?" And this is our Lord. And this is the testimony that Paul has of the risen Christ. "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works." Because you see, beforehand, along with Israel, and as Israel was in the forefront of all this, they had the law and they had the works. And so by their works, they were to be judged. But with us, it is grace. It is now grace. And that's the reason Paul could say this. "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." See, the Father and the Son had agreed to all this many eons ago. How far? I don't know. I don't know that it could be found out, but that's the situation, and this is what was so important that Paul could get through to Timothy and Titus about. And that day, he realized that he was about ready to be offered up, to be poured out, he says, I think, in 2 Timothy here. Be poured out like you pour wine out of a glass to drink. And that's the situation there. So, but here Paul is giving us the groundwork of exactly what's going on and how he, in his last little while he's there, is writing back to Timothy and said, get on down here, boy, if you can. I'd like to see you in person again before my demise, so to speak. But we've been called according to his own purpose. So that was what God purposed in his son to finish that work that he was set out to do. And he did that. And he told them before he went back up from the Mount of Olives, the way he showed up, he went back saying, you know, this is what I want you to remember. This is what I want you to preach and teach. Because he says, that's what I'm called for. And I'm a prisoner for Christ Jesus. Not somebody with just happened to be on the road doing something and being called to it. He was chosen. He was chosen for the job he had, just like we were chosen hundreds or thousands of years before we ever realized that we had a calling. But here we are. Okay, so now we're down to before the world began, verse 10. We're going to pick up with verse 10. He says, but is now made manifest. All of this is made manifest or can be seen or known by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So he done it through his written word. And this written word was given to men who would share it with others down through the years. And of course, Paul wrote Timothy here probably around 64, 65, 66, somewhere in there, AD. And so here we are. But it's now made manifest. So let's see my notes. It's been a while since I wrote them, but I guess I can read them still. Sometimes my writing seems like it gets old pretty quick. So we're looking at verse 10 in my notes. It said, but is now is the word phaneru, brought to light or made manifest. To be, am I, visible or open, by the appearing of love or what our Savior Christ Jesus, the only one that could, did these things, who hath abolished death. He hath victory over corruption, and he hath brought to light or shed light on a new life and immortality. The Lord did this in his own person. When he rose from the dead and heralded to those that were in prison, those angels that were in prison, and who is alive forevermore, he says, I'm back, boys. I'm here.
And they know it.
I'm alive forevermore. And did they ever understand that?
They got it.
Okay. We understand it because it is light through the gospel, his holy word. It is our light, should be our light, should be our part of our testimony. Through the gospel, his holy word, shining forth through the words on the pages of God's word. Should not be any problem with that. There should not be and is no darkness in Christ, nor in anything that he did. And if you have hope in Christ, and I think Ronnie made this very clear in his study last Sunday morning, that if you have all this, and if you have the association with that, and believe that, and understand that, then you have a shield that a lot of people don't have. Because I think God shields those that he gives this ability to know and to understand this wisdom and knowledge. Because if you're going to get God's wisdom, and that wisdom brings knowledge. If you study it, it brings knowledge. And that knowledge gives you understanding on how to use it and the way to use it. And it is something sort of kind of like the law that was given to the Israelites. But it wasn't the law. It was basically, if you buy, go to the store and you buy something and it comes with an instruction chart. Well, this is, God's word is our instruction chart on how to use this wisdom and knowledge. That's the reason we send our kids to school. Because the teacher is going to give them knowledge of the wisdom that they have acquired. Or if you send them to college, they're going to sit before somebody that's a PhD or something that's got a, that has this wisdom and knowledge and can show you how to use it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be any good. If you don't know how to use something, then, you have a problem. That kind of goes back to these boys as I was telling you about at the plant. They didn't have the knowledge to know exactly how to use it because I'd done that for 16 years myself. Doing the same thing they was doing. Me and a boy called Scotty Boggs, and he's over the fire brigade at these three nuclear stations that we live under over here. Me and him got it together. Now he's got the scars. I didn't have the scars, but he certainly got the scars from that. But here we are. So, going back, to verse 8 or 9, talking about the afflictions of the gospel. Well, these boys got the afflictions of their work. They now are going to have the scars of that. But there's always, in these situations, there's always a payoff for those kind of things. And Paul says, look at your afflictions as being something wonderful because God is going to take that into consideration when the awards are handed out. And I think about that when I look at these things. When I heard about this, I thought, man, how close is that to our situation that we have here? So let's go to Jack's Workman's Interlinear, and we'll look at verse 9 and see what it says. And he has brought it down from the Koine Greek, which I couldn't do anything with. It says, but he's brought it back to the English. It says, who saves us and call with calling holy. Now, you know, they have a way in the Greek of put things before other things. And a lot of times we don't really realize it, but until we see one set against the other. It says, not according to the works of us. And I think that's a great thought there, but it says, but rather according to his own purpose and grace. Okay? Which given us in Christ Jesus before of times of ages. So you see, it had been established long before we ever got it. And Christ let the world go along for 4,000 years before Christ ever showed up. And that's the reason a lot of times I ask people that I've never seen before and have a chance to talk with them a little bit about the Word of God. I says, does 4,004 mean anything to you, B.C.? Down to 4 B.C.? I said, that's 4,000 years. What happened? Well, we've never heard that. Okay, you got to start somewhere, you know. Yeah. If you have a testimony for Christ, you got to start somewhere.
I believe you're the icebreaker.
But 1,000 years is like a day with the Lord or a day with 1,000 years. Or somewhat said. I might have not have said that right. But anyway, the thought was there that 1,000 years equals a day with the Lord. Because time isn't that important with God. Time was made for man. And seasons, times and seasons. Because he was going to have to plant, reap, sow, you know, plant, sow, harvest, and get his food that way. Because God had set up a way to do it, but man had to do it himself. Because he told Adam, he said, boy, you're going to have to get out here and gather all this stuff, but be careful. They thorns, stickers, bites or whatever in there that can really be bad. So you've got even that, you know, you've got to watch for. Okay. So let's go ahead and look at the rest of verse 10. It says, and in the more modern English, it says, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but rather according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before ages of time. Jack says this, God saved us. Our works were not involved in his salvation. That was a free gift. And it was meant to be. Now, the Spirit was always with or upon somebody, but it was not in most cases. We got to remember that. We were saved through a holy calling. His calling was not just a calling to salvation, but to the part in God's plan in which he wanted us to serve. Pretty clear, isn't it? Those who learn and understand these things are the happiest of all people. Oh, you got to understand it if you know it. But you got to know it to understand it. The purpose of God transcends all other goals or plans of life. Not only did God have the plan, but he provided the grace to the subject to enable him to carry out his portion in the plan of the ages. Well, we can go to the back of the Bible and go through the appendages Look at the appendix. What is it, 196 or 198? And look at it, because it's in the structure there.
I think it's called God's Eternal Purpose.
Yeah, and Jack says this whole structure was given us in Christ Jesus before ages of time. See, it was never written down. It was in God's mind. Before the clock was set off in Genesis 1:14. There's another point you can make, people. Time was not a big deal until God started the clock. These things were established in the plan of God. Well, what else can I really tell you about this verse of Scripture? It was all in the plan of God to give it to man as a gift, a free gift that he would in turn tell others. And that was the reason God chose this little nation of Israel to get that out. But that was something that didn't work out really the way that it was, I think it was intended, but yet, nevertheless, he brought it to a conclusion in a way that was very good. It says, notice the prominent place of grace. God never left us without his love and grace. And regardless of what we do, if we told God or made a vow to God that, yeah, you show us what we need to do, we'll do it. And we'll do it. And we'll do it. And we'll do it. And sometimes we don't. But he don't give up on us. He still works with us through his great grace. That's something that people have asked down through Scripture, says, I'll give you money for what you got. These people, even the ones that had the law, he said, for the things that you got, I'll give you money for. They said, oh, you can't buy it. It's not for sale. It isn't for sale. Think about that. Okay. Let's go and take in our things that Jack leaves with us for our scripture reading. And there's several here. And I guess I read... Well, I read the notes on verse 9. Let me read verse 10. And verse 10 said, made manifest, but now through the appearing of our Savior of us, Christ Jesus, since he made of effect none the dead, brought to light and life and incorruption through the good message, or through his word. That was verse 10. And Jack said, Christ did it all. He made death of none effect by conquering death. He paid the price with his life for our death, for death only. And he conquered death. He was able to descend into the depths of Hades and lead captives captive. Therefore, death had no victory over any of us. Of his. Those who know him have life. They are born to incorruption. Philippians 3:20-21. How great is it now not to have uncertainty about the bookends of the experience of God. From the Father to the Son. All this was done in a way that he brought it all together through his grace and love. Now, let's look at the scripture reading in verse 10. Okay, we're going to start off with let me get up here and look at these things. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at two places in 1 Corinthians. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 4. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 6 on 1 Corinthians 4. I got to leave my bookmark there because I got to go back to it after a while. And he says this, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Mysteries, plural. A lot of mysteries. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self." This is Paul writing this to the Corinthians. He says, "For I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified?" Full stop. "But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brother, I have in a figure transferred to myself into Apollos for your sake, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against the other." Now, I want to go from there to chapter 15. And I didn't give you the First Corinthians 15, okay. And we're going to look at 51 through 56. I think that's toward the end of the... Yeah, 51 through 56. And that's on page 1724. I'm sorry I didn't give you the number if you got a companion Bible. So 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 56. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and shall be changed." Remember, this is in a past dispensation.
Yeah, because that same bunch where he said, "We who are alive and remain,"
right,
they're all gone now.
Yeah. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is risen, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin was in the law." So God abolished the law on the cross. And it became grace through his risen being. For now he has paid our price. He has paid the price for our sins. Oh, think about that. To realize that. Okay, let's go from Corinthians to Ephesians. And there's a few places in Ephesians, I think. We want to go to, well, let's go to Ephesians 1. Let me get back to 1. And we're going to look at 3 through 9 here on Ephesians 1 on page 1761. 1760. We're going to look at verse 3, verse 5, and verse 9. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Verse 5, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." And then the verse 9, "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself." That's 3, 5, and 9 of Ephesians 1. So let's go to the next, look on the other page if you have a companion Bible. And look at 18 and 19. Verse 18 and 19. There's a lot being said here. We're going to gloss over that. But this is what Jack wanted us to look at. 18 says this on 1761, chapter 1. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints," and 19, "and what are the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." Oh boy. What words. Okay, let's go from Ephesians to Colossians. We'll pass over Philippians. And we'll go to Colossians. We're going to look at Colossians 1. And we're going to start in 23-26. That's page 1782. 23 through 26. And it says, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." You see, this was what God did not let the Son do while he was here. So Paul finished it. That was part of what Paul was called for. He says, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." And we're going to look at 26. "Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." Oh Lord, what a world that don't understand that we live in and don't realize what the Word of God is telling us here. Okay, we're going to go back to Thessalonians. And we're going to look at Thessalonians 2, chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 8, 9, and 10. And this is on page 1789 if you have a companion Bible. If you don't, I can't help you there. Okay, so Thessalonians 2, 8 through 10. Now remember that this was written earlier. It says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. So Paul looks at these Thessalonians, even though it, from where we are tonight in our study, it was an earlier dispensation, but the love that he portrays here in these folks, even then, to show his love for them at that point that we can see also. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto you, unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. We are witnesses. Okay? We're witnesses. We're still witnesses. In this day and age, certainly, we're witnesses. And God also, how holy and justly and unblameable we behave ourselves among you that believe. So Paul is reminding himself of how he should act before those that may not look at it exactly like he does. And so that's what we have in Thessalonians 8 through 10 of chapter 2. And we go from that to 1 Timothy 3. And Jack gives us a pretty good, listing of stuff to look at. And, it is very enjoyable to me to go back and to look at these things. We're going to look at two things here. 1 Timothy 3 and also 1 Timothy 6. But 1 Timothy 3 first. It says 14 to 16. 1 Timothy 3, 14 to 16 on page 1803 in the Companion Bible. 14 through 16 of chapter 3 of 1 Timothy. Paul says, these things I write unto you, hoping to come to thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church or the assembly of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And without controversy, no argument here, great is the mystery of godliness. Full stop. Now think about this. This is a full stop at the first part of this verse. But let's look at what's left. God was manifest in the flesh. Yes. We read this. He was justified in the Spirit. Yes, we read this. Seen of angels. Preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. And it was received, I'll call it, back up into glory. Because that's where he went back. when he went back. He went back up. So, without controversy, Paul says, this is the mystery of godliness. There's nothing that man can add to it to make it any better than the Word of God through Paul tells us right here in this verse of Scripture. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. He has a way of putting all this together so it seems so common, but yet so great, that there's nothing lacking. Okay, let's turn to 1 Timothy 6. I'll get to it in a minute. Okay. 1 Timothy 6. We're going to look at 11 through 14. Page 1807. 14 through 18. Did I say? No. 11 through 14. I'm sorry. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Well, you got to go back and look and read some of this to understand what he's saying here. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. About five or six things there. To follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Not only that, but fight the good fight of faith. And there's always a fight of faith, because when you are a believer, then Satan turns his wiles upon you because you're competition to him. If you're a believer in Christ Jesus, then you're in this war between the seeds. Okay? And you got to fight the good fight of faith. If you go back to Colossians 2 that Ronnie did a portion of last Sunday, you realize that there are things out there that can easily sway you from that. But you know who you're fighting for, and you have the faith to do it, because you have laid hope on eternal life. And that's what Satan thought he had taken away from you and me. But you see, eternal life was given to us again by the blood of Christ from the cross. And from that time forth, Satan couldn't change that. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. That's what our witness should be. And it should be yea and amen all the time. I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. When Pilate asked him, he said, are you the Son of God? And he said, thou sayest that I am. That's a good confession. That thou keepest this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. It gets better and better, doesn't it? Okay, let's look at Titus, and then we'll go to the next verse. Oh, we may not. Titus, okay. We're going to look at Titus 1:1-3, and we just finished this book not long ago. Titus 1:1-3. And it says this, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Well, a lot of people can consider themselves being servants of God. But are you an apostle of Jesus Christ? According to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Salvation is not something that you got to testify to. It's not salvation. It is belief. And somebody might say, well, that's the same thing. No, maybe not. Because I've seen people walk down the aisle and confess Christ and say, I'm going to do whatever it is you want me to do. 3 or 4 months later, you don't see them anymore. The assembly that I went to, when Brother Larry Dyer come, the doors don't open anymore, except for weddings or deaths. The building's still there. I can't call it a church. I call it an assembly hall. That's what it is. There, the church is the people. And there is no people there anymore. And when Brother Larry left, there was about 148 that said, I'm going to get involved in this group. But all this group is gone now. They're not dead, but they're gone. Well, here we are. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Well, you see, they felt like, and the church before, might have preached that, well, you know, if you follow the law, you have life. Well, you might do it. But not through mystery truth. He said, but in due time, manifested word through preaching, which is committed unto me, Paul says, according to the commandment of God, our Savior. So there's a lot of difference between making a promise to God, but saying, God, I believe what you have shown me, and that whatever it is that you need, I will do. Here I sit, since 1971, never ever thought, never ever had a thought in my mind that he would expect me to be a witness for him. But here I am.
Amen.
And I may not be a good one, but I try my best to do what I can. That's what I promised. God, clean me up, set me up, and allow me to be the kind of witness for you that you expect. I may not be that all the time, but I certainly try. And I thank you folks for being with us tonight, and it feels good to be back in being God's word again with those that look for the appearing of our Lord and Savior,
Amen.
Christ Jesus. So until next time, may God keep and bless you. And I thank you for your time that you spent with us tonight, because it feels good to do it again. God bless.